For God has not called us to uncleanliness, but unto holiness. Now, I'm going to throw something out here that I've never talked about before in church. But I'm going to talk about it today because I think this is a problem in the church. When it says lasciviousness and uncleanliness, I'm going to tell you something that men and women do today. You've heard this old story that the marriage bed is not defiled. But when it comes to oral sex, the marriage bed is defiled. And if you want to get you some unclean demons, just be involved in oral sex. That's not being holy. I mean, there's some people will argue with me about that. That's okay. You can argue with me if you want to. I ain't going there with you. I'm going to get my prayers answered. I'm not going to do anything that I would be ashamed of what I was doing if the King of the universe appeared right there and said, "Son, I'm watching what you're doing tonight." Because he watches what I do all the time. You know that? I know people in the church that says that's okay. The marriage bed's not defiled. Okay? That's between you and God. But I guarantee I ain't going there with you. I'm not going to do anything in that sexual bed that I wouldn't feel perfectly comfortable doing if the King of the universe was standing right there watching me. Because he is standing there watching me. He's watching you. You know that? For God has not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Verse 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You know, right here would be a good place to tell another little story. It happened the night we got back from Detroit. There was a friend of Cheryl's wanted to come out and have dinner with Cheryl. She didn't know we'd been out of town, but she was going to be out at her daughter's restaurant Wednesday night. And so we got in, and just as we got in, she finally got through to her and said, "I'm going to be at Christie's restaurant tonight about 5:30 or 6. Could you come out and have dinner with me?" And Cheryl looked at me and said, "What about it?" I said, "Okay, we'll go have dinner with her. Who knows what God will do?" So we went out there. And we got out there. She wasn't there alone. I mean, she had divorced her husband years ago. And her son, I mean, the lady was Cheryl's age or maybe a little older than Cheryl. And then the son was, I mean, he's middle-aged, and there was another lady friend, and then another lady friend, and then me and Cheryl. And so we sat down here at this table, and first thing we started talking about was Jesus. I mean, that's the first thing out of her mouth. She started talking about Jesus. She started preaching to this bunch right off the bat. Now, what's in a girl's heart? Where does it come out? Her mouth. So she's preaching. She's talking to them about Jesus. And then the lady, she says something. Cheryl said, "Are you still?" She had had a problem getting in. "Knees, my old knees, you know." And Cheryl said, "Well, you know, what's wrong with your knees?" And she said, "Well, you know, I've got this problem, especially my right knee." Cheryl's arthritis or whatever it was. Cheryl said, "Have you ever forgiven your ex-husband?" Now, nobody would ever think, what does that have to do with me having arthritis in my right knee? But it has a whole lot to do because you're not walking in love. Now, this lady's a Christian. You know, she does go to church. But in the church she goes to, she never hears this. So anyway, and she's also got a problem with, she said, "Well, but Cheryl, if it would be in my right knee because of my husband, I also got it not as bad, but in my left knee." Cheryl, "Well, that group of office girls that you run all the time down there, do you ever get crossways with any of them?" She said, "I guess so." "Well," she said, "that's why you got it in the left knee too." Now then, what did God tell us to do in that last statement? To do what? Love. Did he say love? Are we supposed to love one another? We're just supposed to know how to do that, aren't we? We're supposed to. But we don't do a very good job. So after Cheryl preached to her for 30 minutes or an hour or whatever it was, a long time, I'm sitting there enjoying every minute of it. I'm just listening to my wife preach to this other woman. And this woman, Cheryl, said, "If you will repent of your sins and everything, God will forgive you, and my husband and I will pray for you, and God will heal you. This woman laid her head down on the table, asked the Lord to forgive her, and promised to love her ex-husband and all that good stuff, and to forgive the girls down at the office and everything. And now I reached across the table and laid my hands on her hands, and Cheryl laid her hands on her, and I asked the Lord to be merciful to her and heal and take away all her pain in the name of Jesus. And as soon as I turned her loose, she said, "Wow, did you feel that?" I said, "No, ma'am, I didn't feel a thing." I said, "What?" She said, "Just something went through my body when you prayed for me." Then she moved her leg under the table, and she said, "And Thurman, my knee don't hurt." And she gets up and scoots, and she gets up. And she said, "I couldn't do this." She said, "Y'all, I'm telling y'all, my knees don't hurt." Now, we're right here in a restaurant. This girl's screaming right out. "My knees don't hurt." And she sits down, and she's, "I got to do that again." And she gets out and stands up, and she said, "I'm telling y'all the truth. My knees don't hurt." She said, "You reckon he'd do that for me instantly? Do you think God would be that merciful? Would he do that, Edna?" God's good, isn't he? I mean, the minute she forgave her ex-husband, God was merciful and forgave her. And when everybody saw this, the little girl down at the end of the table, she said, "Mr. Scrivener, I got tendonitis in my left elbow. You reckon God would heal me too?" I said, "Have you got a grudge against somebody, some woman?" "Yeah." I said, "That's why you got it in your left elbow." I said, "You need to forgive those girls and promise, tell God, 'God, I promise I'll love them girls.'" So she did that right there. Now, she's just seen a miracle. So she repents. I reach over the other way and touch her in the name of Jesus, and the King instantly heals her too, right there. Well, wow. So we get two of them now. Praise the King. I mean, God is good. He's forgiving these people. He's healing right there in a restaurant. And then the little girl to my right, I turned to look at her. She looks like a middle-aged, precious Christian daughter. And I said, "How about you, young lady? You have anything wrong with you?" She said, "No." But she said, "I do have some unforgiveness toward my sister-in-law. Why don't I have something wrong with me?" I said, "Because of the mercy of God, girl." I said, "He's giving you time to repent." I said, "Now, if you don't repent, you know what's going to happen to you?" She said, "What?" I said, "You're going to have breast cancer in your left breast because you got a grudge against a sister-in-law." I said, "So you have to forgive her." She said, "But Thurman, you don't know this girl. It's all impossible almost for me to forgive her and walk in love." I said, "Well, how would you like to have breast cancer in your left breast and cut it off?" "Ooh, I don't even want to think about that." I said, "That ought to make it a little easier for you to forgive and walk in love." She said, "I'll try." I said, "Try and don't work, honey. Try and don't work." So anyway, I said, I've talked to you all enough. I said, "Let's go in and listen to Christy sing a little while." So we get up to go in there to listen to Christy sing. And on the way over there, the young man, he said, "Pastor," as we're walking down the hall, he said, I got my cell phone out. As soon as we got up and I called my wife, said, "She's a doctor. And we've been trying to have a baby and we're not having any luck." And my wife said, "Well, have him pray for us so we can have a baby. Will you pray for us?" So I did. I prayed for them. And of course, when I was in Detroit this time, there was a man drove 6 hours. When he learned, it was amazing. He was watching us on GLC. He said, "I got to call the minister." He goes upstairs and looks down. And just as he does, the phone rings and it says TLSM. He said, "This has got to be God." He picked it up and it was Kathy. She said, "Thurman's going to be in Detroit." He said, "Praise God." He said, "I'm a 6-hour drive, but it's a whole lot closer to Detroit than it is to Texas." He said, "I'm going over there." And he did, and he come and had breakfast with me the first morning I was there and brought a computer and showed me all these pictures. He said, "Thurman, I don't know if you remember or not, but 2 years ago I came to see you in Dallas. My wife and I had been married 11 years and no baby." And he said, "We came and you prayed for us, and this is our 6-month-old son. Look at him." And he had all, is God good? I mean, does God... isn't it worth walking in obedience to His Word to see Him do those kind of things for His people? Don't you love it when He answers your prayer like that? I love it. But I prayed for that one. And then when we get out there, and after we listen to the girls sing a couple of songs, Cheryl and I get ready to go home. And as we start to go, well, everybody's standing up, you know, telling us how they enjoyed the evening and all that stuff. And I walk by, and that little girl that was sitting beside me, she pulls her ear right up to mine and says, "Pastor, I've told God I will love my sister-in-law." In other words, she had time to think about what I was saying. I told God I will. Now she's out there, you think she's out there listening to the girl sing, but she's really talking to God. See, now it doesn't make any difference where you are. You can do wonderful things for the kingdom. In a restaurant. I mean, anywhere. I mean, isn't it wonderful what Jesus does? But He wants us to walk holy. And in verse 10, He says, "And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." Now, why would you want to increase more and more in your love walk with God? Would you like for your prayers to get bigger and bigger? I mean, when you first start out, you prayed for a headache. And you've seen somebody get healed of a headache. And then the guy comes in, he says, "I don't have any legs. Would you pray for me?" You ain't got that kind of faith at this point, do you see? You think, whoa! Now, I don't know. Now, God can heal a headache, but to give that man two new knees or two new legs, now, wait a minute, God, I can't go there with you. How do I know this? Because I've been there, done that. You know, I can remember praying for somebody, you know, and then somebody wants a bigger prayer answered. Wow. I remember another man that was a little Baptist guy. I went to Mexico one time, and he said I knew about the healing power of Jesus, and the other Baptist guy with me didn't. So he said we knocked on about 10 or 15 doors and told them we were going to have a meeting, and they slammed the door in our face. Nobody was interested in a church meeting. He said, I told him, why don't we next door, go up, instead of saying, is anybody interested in coming to a meeting, say, is there anybody here needs to be healed? Jesus the healer is here. And the guy said, what? He said, yeah, let's do this. So he said, I went up there and I knocked on the door, and they opened the door, and I said, you know, Jesus the healer is here. Anybody here sick? Jesus is doing house calls. And the guy said, come on in. Run him in there, and his little daughter was sick. He said, yes, my daughter's sick right here, and she's really deathly ill. Would you pray for her? And they laid hands on her and prayed, and God instantly healed that little child. Wow. He said, that guy jumped out. He said, we don't have to go knock the door. The guy's going to every door and said, hey, praise God. These guys come and pray for my daughter, and Jesus healed her. Now, isn't that wonderful? So he said, we go down several streets, and people are just getting excited now. And he said, we're doing this in every door we go to.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.